Well, the Steelers may not be playing this weekend. In fact, they are not playing this weekend. But that's not going to stop us from talking plenty of NFL. We got a lot of big games that are pertinent to the Steelers. Last night's was one of them, as a matter of fact. Anything that happens in the AFC is pertinent to the Steelers. And on the line to talk about all of that and more is the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more analysis. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you find your podcasts. Hopefully, you're watching on YouTube or on our website at 937thefan.com, because then you get a look at Nick. There he is, Donnie, sitting right between us. Look at the hair.
Again.
This is Jim Carrey from Ace Ventura. Look at the
look at the
sleeveless shirt. This is Pat McAfee right here. This is everybody rolled into one, Nick Kostos.
Yeah, I would say minus a couple zeros from the bank account for Pat McAfee, but love being on with you guys. Happy Football Friday.
Happy Football Friday to you, man. I'm going to ask you a big picture question first, Nick, and that is the Steelers right now. Are they a good bet, literally a good bet, to win the AFC North or no?
Wow, that's a really awesome question, because I think at this point, guys, like, the Steelers are going to go to the playoffs. Not definitely, but the betting market says the Steelers are very likely to be a playoff team, minus 400, meaning you'd have to lay $400 to win 100 on the Steelers going to the playoffs. They're very likely now. Obviously, the record says that as well at 6-2. Now, they are going to a very difficult now second half of the schedule after a very easy first half of the schedule. So what I would say here, guys, and like we actually played this game on my show, You Better, You Bet, earlier this week, the schedule game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. In the AFC, I think you will obviously need at least 9, maybe 10 wins to get in. So you're looking at coming out of the bye week, you need the Steelers to win 3 or 4 games to like to be in contention to make the postseason. So when I say these games, like at the Commanders coming out of the bye, home Baltimore, at Cleveland, at Cincy, home Cleveland, at Philly, at Baltimore, home Chiefs, home Bengals, that's really, really tough. Now, because the schedule's really tough, I don't know if I would bet the Steelers to win the AFC North. I don't think it's a terrible bet. They obviously can win the AFC North. Like, Lamar Jackson might not practice again for the Ravens today. Didn't practice the first 2 days, in which case, you know, he doesn't play in the game on Sunday. Like, Denver's probably going to win. And then Pittsburgh's division lead grows over the Baltimore Ravens. I still think Baltimore's better. So I wouldn't bet the Steelers to win the division. In terms of Steelers to make the playoffs, minus 400 is too rich of a price to lay. But I do think the bet to make, if you want to bet positive on Pittsburgh, guys, would be Pittsburgh's adjusted win total over, which is 9.5 right now. Do you think the Steelers can win 4 games the rest of the season? I definitely think they can. And that's something we talked about this week. So that would be how I would look to bet the Steelers, guys. If you want to bet something positive on Pittsburgh, instead of them winning the division, can they get to 10 wins?
Nick, speaking of that Baltimore-Denver game on Sunday, you hit the nail on the head last week, and kudos to you picking Cleveland to win outright against Baltimore as a big underdog. Now with the Lamar Jackson news, how do you feel about this one, and are you going to go with a big underdog again?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I don't like it as much this week because the Ravens are going to get like a couple of members of their secondary back, probably Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins, I think are both tracking to play in this game. They both missed last week. And I just searched on Twitter. Lamar Jackson is practicing right now for the Ravens. So like he's going to be good to go for Sunday's game against the Denver Broncos. I would not be shocked, guys, if the Broncos won this game. And I'm betting the Broncos to cover the spread in this game. The Ravens defense this year, even with the guys healthy in the secondary, this is not a good defense. The run defense is excellent for the Ravens. The pass defense has been absolute garbage. And I think Denver right now and Bo Nix, and I'm not suggesting like Bo Nix is as good as Jaden Daniels or anything like that as far as rookies go, but this is an offense that has a number of explosive pass plays this season. I don't see why Denver can't do that coming up this Sunday. And Denver's defense is definitely better than Baltimore's defense. So I think Denver will cover the spread, and I will have a money line bet on the Broncos to beat the Ravens on Sunday. But again, just want to be clear, I liked the Browns bet to win last week a lot more than I like the Denver bet to win this week.
Nick Kostos on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can weigh in on the text line with our dear friend Wonder Twin. back there. Edgar Snyder and Associates, that's who brings it to you. A personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's talk about those Cleveland Browns. Nick, this is an interesting game. I sensed a new energy with Cleveland, mostly because that guy's gone, their quarterback. I don't care who they brought in, but they brought in a sort of a boom and bust player in Jameis Winston. But I think more to the point, it's a new energy in the fan base. I bet in the locker room, they're a point and a half favorite, or actually a dog here against the Chargers. Who do you have, and what do you think of the Browns moving forward?
Yeah, I think unfortunately for the Browns, and like, I know Steelers fans probably don't care, right, about like unfortunate for the Browns or whatever. But yeah, I think they're probably like too far behind the eight ball at this point, like to make like serious waves as far as the postseason go. Like, they're 2-6. Like, awesome, beat the Ravens last week. Probably should have never played Deshaun Watson. Like, seems to be a critical error. So I don't think they can like make noise as far as a playoff berth is concerned. But I do think they're a much feistier team moving forward now, right, with Jameis Winston. And Joe, to your point, it doesn't even have to be Jameis. It's not Deshaun Watson. That offense was so, so bad with Watson the first seven games of the season. And now here's a different quarterback. And now Jerry Jeudy's viable, like in fantasy football leagues. And it's not a fantasy question. We're just saying, like, guys are putting up stats now. Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Elijah Moore, David Njoku, Nick Chubb last week had only 52 yards rushing against the Ravens. That's the most rushing yards any running back has had against the Ravens this season. So I think Nick Chubb, like, better days are definitely coming up for Nick Chubb, who's obviously coming off the devastating leg injury from last year. I like the Browns in this game. Give me the Browns to win the game outright at home against the LA Chargers. I think the wrong team's favored. A good old-fashioned WTF spot. Wrong team favored. Give me the Browns.
Nick, let's jump over to some of the college games for a few minutes. Pitt, a massive game for the Pitt Panthers tomorrow night. They are at SMU, but they are a big underdog in that game. How do you feel about that one going in?
Well, I bet Syracuse last Thursday night against Pitt and didn't go great. Here's Kyle McCord with like 9 pick sixes.
You could have bet over 4.5 interceptions maybe for Kyle McCord.
that would have been a better bet for sure. So we have news in this game, right? SMU's like starting quarterback is going to play in this game. That is Kevin Jennings has been medically cleared to play for SMU. Now, despite that news, Pitt is actually getting bet right now in the market. So I have the screen up in front of me. SMU guys all week has been a 7.5-point favorite. It looks like this is now going to come down to 7 and just be SMU a flat 7-point favorite against Pitt. This to me feels like a great Pat Narduzzi underdog spot to take the points with Pitt. It is not one of my favorite bets of the week, but if I had to bet the game, I would take the points with Pitt. And again, just consider this. SMU starting quarterback announced as in, betting market responds by betting on Pitt. Just giving that for context.
Yeah, I think that line surprised a lot of people, Nick, that it was, I mean, Pitt's the higher ranked team. I get rankings don't mean that much, but man, to start out at 7.5, how do you explain that?
Well, I think, you know, it's kind of like last night with the Jets and the Texans, right? Where everyone's like, oh my God, like the Jets are 2-6. How could they be favored? Well, I don't know, because the kicker probably cost them 3 games and the Texans are down their top 2 wide receivers and the offensive line's terrible and it's a short week on the road. Like, this is really important. There's no such thing as, like, Vegas, in quotes, like a shadowy cabal of people in, like, a sports book atop Las Vegas that's trying to trick people into making bets. Like, because that thought process implies that there's no – people aren't betting. Like, lines move and are what they are because people are betting money into them. So the reason why SMU is favored by that much is because people think SMU is that much better than Pitt. Now, Pitt's getting bet now, right? But I think the number's probably just about right, that SMU is probably this much better at home than Pitt is. And if you disagree, here's what's great about betting. You can back up your opinion and you can put your money on the Pitt Panthers. I will actually probably do that, guys, coming up tomorrow.
Nick, the other big game in our area, and one of the biggest, I think the biggest game in the country this weekend in college football, that is Penn State and Ohio State. Noon kickoff in State College tomorrow. Which way are you going to lean on this one?
Well, we think Drew Aller's playing, right? That's the guess right now? Okay. If Drew Aller plays, so if he's announced as in, and I just want to give a little context here, then go to the game. Okay. Ohio State is a 3.5-point road favorite right now. The juice is on Penn State. So Penn State plus 3.5 is minus 115. What does that mean? It means that we are very close to going down to just Ohio State minus 3. And my guess is, it's an educated guess, when Drew Aller is announced as the starter, whenever that happens, you know, college football, they protect secrets like it's national security. It's not like the NFL when all the information's public. Like, we may not know Drew Aller starting in the game until he comes out to take the first possession, right? That's just how this works. But if we get word that Aller's starting, and bettors will know, like the stuff will get into the betting market before it's made public, Penn State's going to get bet. This will close maybe Ohio State 3, maybe less than 3, maybe Ohio State like -2.5. So my suggestion to people would be, if you like Penn State in the game, I would bet Penn State now because I think Aller is going to play and this number won't exist. I do like Penn State in the game, at least to cover 3.5. James Franklin is, it's well documented, guys, is a brutal big game head coach. My bet would be that his quarterback this year is so good that it makes up for as bad as he is in these spots, that Aller's too good. I'll take the 3.5 points with Penn State, but I think we need to bet that, like, today. I don't think that number exists tomorrow.
Nick, great stuff as always. We'll talk next week.
Looking forward to it. Wishing everyone minimal sweats when he bets the absolute very best of luck.
Thanks, Nick.
I love the ending. Don't you, Donnie?
Very smooth. He always has a very smooth sign-off.
Great sign-off. That was the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider Nick Kostos. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today or on the BetMGM app. Bechtold's breakdown coming up next. That's something that the entire nation looks forward to. It's like the 1940s in England when Winston Churchill would come on, Donnie. They would have entire families huddled by the radio in the living room. They didn't have televisions back then. It was all radio. He has renewed that across America, entire families. People take off from work, extended families. The grandkids come over. They huddle around a radio for Bechtold's breakdown.
And we have a front row seat for it, Joe.
Every week we do. That's next. But first, I have a little exercise for you fine young gentlemen that I've been meaning to get to. And the show goes by so fast because we're having such fun. So I'm going to do it right now. Russell Wilson versus the world. You ready?
Ooh, okay.
Where does Russell Wilson rank right now? I don't care about his career in Seattle. I don't care if he's going to sign here next year. All we have is a couple of games worth of tape here. Where does he rank right now against every other team's quarterback in the AFC? Limits, if you would keep track of this, that would be wonderful. Let's just go through the list.
Okay.
Who's better right now? Russell Wilson or Josh Allen? We all say Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Who's better right now? Who would you rather have, maybe, is the pertinent question. Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers? Donnie?
I'd actually take Russ.
I would take Russ as well.
I'd take Russ as well, I think. I think I would.
And we're also saying,
ask, like, me again in 3 weeks, but to stick to the confines of my own exercise, I'm taking Russ.
Yeah, we're not worried about, like, next 5
years
or anything
like that. No,
this
isn't starting.
Okay.
It's right now.
Okay.
Who's better? Who would you take? Who would you want? Russ or Tua?
I'm going with Russ.
I'm going with Russ, too.
Easy, Russ. New England doesn't count, so we all are with Russ there. Russ or Lamar?
Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar.
Lamar. Russ or Burrow?
Burrow.
Burrow.
Russ or Jameis Winston?
Russ, although that gap is closer than it was between Russ and Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Well, yeah, the ceiling was on the floor for Deshaun.
The ceiling was on the floor. Yeah, we're all on Team Russ there.
All Russ.
You keeping track of this? We've agreed on every single one of these unanimously.
Other than Josh Allen, Lamar, and Burrow.
Okay, so he's fourth right now. Russ or C.J. Stroud?
I would still take Stroud.
Definitely C.J. Stroud.
Definitely Stroud. Russ or Joe Flacco? Russ or Flacco? This might be a tough call for Donnie.
I would go with Russ, but again, like, that gap is way closer than what you would imagine, old Cowboy Joe.
I'm going to go with Joe Flacco. As surprising as that might be, and I think that it's not a detriment towards Russell Wilson. That's praise being put on Joe Flacco and the way that he's performed over the last couple of years.
If you could find Ben saying this old cowboy still has something left, that would be a bonus here.
It's definitely in there. It's in the Craig folder.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
They've been talking about Flacco, but I'm taking Russ right here. Yeah, I'm taking Russ. Russ or Trevor Lawrence?
Lawrence has really disappointed me. Like, I'm actually going to go with Russell Wilson. I didn't think so. I thought Lawrence was one of the guys. He's kind of like Caleb Williams, the second coming. Like, here he is, and he disappointed me.
It's my biggest disappointment of the year. Jacksonville had him winning the division. So because of that, I'm going to go with Russ.
Easy, Russ. I mean, Lawrence feels broken. I had him going into last season as an MVP candidate, coming off a playoff win, and he just looked like he was in the right offense with the right coach and weapons. I see Travis Etienne, a lot of people think, is going to be traded by November 5th. This is just sad. But yeah, for sure, Russ, right now. Russ, or I guess Levis and Butthead out in Tennessee. That's not even a choice, is it?
Russ.
Yeah.
Levis. No, I'm just playing. the look on his face.
Oh, man.
And Russ over Mason, right?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Nobody would take him over Mahomes at the moment. Russell Wilson versus Bo Nix right now.
I'm still going Russell Wilson.
I'm going Russell Wilson, too.
I'm going to take a closer look at Bo Nix if you'd indulge me for a moment, Donnie, would you?
I would indulge you. I also think
let me tell you a little something. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm picturing if they do, let's say there's a matchup in the playoffs between these two, and Russell Wilson, I think, even more so than ever, would want to have the biggest game of his life because of the head coach that's on the other sideline.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of irrelevant to our conversation, but I do understand what you're saying. Let me just tell you this much about Bo Nix. Why don't you pull up a chair, Limits? This is Grandpa Joe talking.
Am I sitting by the fire again?
Yeah, would you like something to drink?
Hot cocoa and a blanket, please.
Sure. Tiny marshmallows or big ones? What do you like in your hot cocoa, Donnie? Couple big ones or the little tiny marshmallows?
Tiny ones.
Yeah? I kind of like the bigger ones.
I also sit and let it like cool off for like 45 minutes.
Yeah. And then you get the little marshmallow melt.
That's
right?
A long time to let it sit and cool.
I don't like burning the mouth.
Limits?
I like the little marshmallows.
The little marshmallows, the mini marshes, huh?
Do you like crunching up your crackers and putting it in your soup? Or do you like to dip the crackers in the soup?
Crunching them and sprinkling crackers. By the way, I had an unbelievable night last night on Halloween. There's a candy store, an unusual old school candy store in Mount Lebanon. And I was panicking because my wife is away and we had no candy. And it was like after 6 o'clock and I had no time to stop anywhere else. So I stopped in this place and I think I had the best candy on the block. I had two Reggie bars, the Reggie Jackson candy bar from the 70s, Charleston Chews I put out there, old school Starburst. Kit Kats from, I think they were from Japan. There was Japanese writing on the bag, like it's imported. Strawberry flavored Kit Kats. Then I had little cylinders of M&Ms that you would have loved, Limits. The plain M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had the best candy on the block.
I think you did.
I spent a lot of money on it. A ridiculous amount of money. But now we have the leftover candy, which I'm happy about. Halloween go?
Did you save any Reggie bars?
Yeah, I'll bring you one.
Ooh,
did you have a good Halloween, Donnie?
Yeah, Sarah and I went to the hockey game. That's where I saw Limits.
Yeah.
We never really get any trick-or-treaters. Like we have
really?
We're like in a little townhouse setting. But no, we didn't get any last year, so got nothing.
Nobody comes to our area and trick-or-treats either.
Because you're off the beaten path there in Baldwin. They'd have to travel like a mile off the main road to get to your house.
And I live on like a major street.
Anyway... Let me tell you a little something about Bo Nix now that you've pulled up a chair. His first two games, no touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Since then, 8 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's completed 70% of his passes or better 3 different times, and he averages 50 yards rushing a game. I'm a little bit torn right here on Russell Wilson versus Bo Nix. And I think I'm going to take Bo Nix.
Ooh.
How do you like them apples, Donnie?
I do like them, but I'm still going with Russie.
Do you like those apples, Limits?
I do like those apples, but I want to see some more from Bo Nix before I turn to him.
But we don't have that option. That was the whole point of the exercise.
I know, and that is why I still take Russ.
Thank you. That leaves us with Justin Herbert. This is a great one. Justin Herbert or Russell Wilson right now.
I'm going to go Justin Herbert.
Easy Justin Herbert. Huge Justin Herbert fan. Easy.
Wow. Limits is doubling down on this.
I'll triple down on it.
Go ahead, triple down. The Las Vegas Raiders, I don't even know who their quarter is. Is it O'Connell
Minshew.
Still? Minshew, they both
O'Connell
suck.
O'Connell got hurt.
Minshew mania.
So where do we have Russ? You add them up and you tell us. Take your time while Donnie and I talk about some other matters.
I want to say like 6 or 7 maybe.
Yeah, in the AFC. And that's one reason Mulsey's here.
Mulsey.
He just handed me a card.
He just gave you a card.
Of who? Shohei Ohtani. Why?
This is from our buddy Hoagie.
Yeah.
Who's on Twitter. I have one for Bechtold, too. This is like a very, it's a mint, like very limited edition card. He saw me a couple days ago. He and Pony went to the Penguins game for the Flurry game. And he wanted you and Bechtold each to have a Shohei Ohtani card.
Thank you, Hoagie.
This is unbelievable, Hoagie. Yes. Thank you.
So you better call up the general.
I feel like Donnie's left out here. That's the problem. I look over and it feels sad to me. What do you think of his jersey today, Malzi? An old school Cam Hayward, Ohio State.
It's a good jersey. There's only 2 days in my life I've rooted for Penn State, and it was 2 times they played Ohio State while I was there. I really hated Ohio State back then, but now because of James Franklin, I think I'm just a neutral.
Not anymore, Malzi.
What does Malzi think of my shirt? Do you see my shirt, Malzi?
Ooh. Worst state Malzi
has family from there. Like he's that? Not going to think highly
I have family
of
from there, too, but this is the one time a year where it's appropriate.
Worst state ever with a map of Ohio. Are you insulted by that, Malzi?
All right, I like Cleveland because I have family there. Is it a good state? You know what? The golf is really good right over the border. A lot of good golf courses right over the border.
I genuinely like Ohio a lot, and I have a lot of family in Youngstown.
Why are you wearing that sweatshirt?
Because it's an anti-Ohio state.
Sure. How do you feel about Big Noon kickoffs?
Oh, don't get me started on that. I have to drive up there and be there. I have to get there at 1 a.m. tonight just to be able to find a spot and get up early in the morning instead of getting up at 5 a.m.
Malzi, if I was at Ohio State as a student, or Penn State, I should say, you start drinking now. You stay up all night, and then the game is at, I think, a noon start is unbelievable. It's like an NFL start. Why is it so bad? Plus, the real bonus, if your team wins, you get the whole next night. If they lose, you go home, you go to bed, Donnie. I love the noon start.
I do think it's an actual advantage competitively for Penn State to play at night when the crowd is like fully sauced up at that point. I think it's a louder environment. I think a night game I do think for college players that is somewhat relevant.
Donnie, do you agree?
I do. Like, I feel like this game shouldn't be played any earlier than 7:30.
They clearly feel that way, too, because the family clothesline store that sells, like, all the apparel up at Penn State, they have shirts, white shirts for, like, a whiteout that says, noon kickoffs suck, and they're encouraging people to buy those.
Wait, so why in the end is this not their whiteout
game?
Whose decision?
Fox, Michael Mulvihill is, like, the head of Fox Sports. I was just reading about this, and they draft games, like, with the other big networks. And so this could have gone to a different network. It did not go in the first 4 picks. So then Fox was up.
How do you not draft this one number 2 overall?
I mean, Ohio State, Oregon, I think, was probably something that was drafted pretty highly.
Ohio State, Michigan.
Ohio State, Michigan, whatever.
So but isn't Ohio State, Michigan usually a noon game often?
Yeah, I'm saying not that one. That one's the traditional big game in college football that is played at noon. It's only been played at like 3:30 twice when it was 1 versus 2 in 06, and I think one other time. My point is, this game was on the list of games that they could draft, and this Mulvihill said, I had to pick it there at 5 and put it on big noon. I couldn't let it slip to our second game or something where we would put it at night, because then I would have had to pick 8th to try to get it, and somebody might have scooped it up. So they wanted the game, and they wanted to make sure they got it, even if it meant we're going to piss off Penn State fans by putting it at the time and place where
they
don't want it.
What a draft that is.
It's that would be a fun draft.
Drafting games.
I think they should televise that.
Should we do that coming back here? Take the 10 biggest college games this year and draft them?
We could try. We have his breakdown.
We can put it in.
This is gigantic.
We'll put it in the breakdown.
Now, anybody that's listening to this and wants to get into radio and be a talk show host, what just happened is one of the chief benefits to not actually planning your show.
Yes.
That whenever somebody else gives you an idea, you don't have another idea to throw out the window. You just go with it. It's like riding a wave on a boogie board.
Is this part of Bechtold's breakdown?
It is now.
Thank you, Austin.
Give
us the top 5 college games of the year.
I'm going
and then
to
we'll
come in here and hand
draft
you a baseball card. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Malzi. All right. Bechtold's breakdown next. An entire nation awaits. First, Betfair breakdown. Right here. Let's talk a little bit about this week in the NFL. Limits, the show is now yours. It's a Donnie Football Friday. Myself, Donnie Football, and Austin Bechtold, who now will present to you the latest version of Bechtold's Breakdown.
On the first day of November, this wonderful Friday in college football, here we go. Let's start with the top five games. Joe, it's a great idea with you and Donnie. If you had to pick at the start of the season, what are the top five games you'd want broadcasted on your network? I started with, we'll go five through one. Number five, Georgia, Texas. Welcome to the SEC, Texas. Georgia's been a perennial power in the SEC and all of college football, winning national championships in the last decade. That's number five. Number four, the third Saturday in October, Alabama and Tennessee. Always a classic game at Tennessee this year. Both teams were in the top 10 until Alabama began to slip. Tennessee, a really good team this year. That's four. I put Ohio State and Penn State at three. Top five matchup. Really excited for that one this weekend. Number two, I put Georgia and Alabama. What a thrilling game that was before Alabama ended up winning it with two touchdowns in the last minute. Number one's the classic, Ohio State and Michigan. Number one on my list. Also receiving votes, the Texas-Michigan matchup that was played at Michigan this year. Ohio State and Oregon that went down to the wire. And LSU-Alabama, which is always a top-tier matchup.
And this topic comes in light of the reason the game's at noon tomorrow is because at the beginning of the year, as Mulsey just told us, the networks drafted games. And the guy from Fox drafted this game knowing it would be a noon start because he didn't want to risk losing it.
With his second round pick, it sounds like.
Yeah. Which of those games would have been your first pick, Donnie, that he just mentioned?
Believe it or not.
Before the year. Before the year.
Believe it or not, I think the game that he had at number five would be my first pick if I was a network. Texas and Georgia.
Yeah.
Because you're getting Texas, like they're christening into the SEC. They're expected to have a really big year. Georgia has been a power for the last couple of seasons. I know they didn't get in the college football playoff last year. There was a big debate. But that to me just feels like a game that would have an insane amount of eyeballs on it no matter what. Because you want to see, can Texas handle the SEC where it's just different?
Yeah, I hear that. I think I'm always going to take Ohio State, Michigan. And now it's easy to say you would have made a mistake because Michigan stinks. I still think that game gets giant ratings. Last year, it set some sort of ratings record with almost 20 million viewers. I just feel safe taking that one number one if I'm a network. Limits?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair to say. And just overall, some of these games, Georgia, Alabama, it's hard to pass that one up as well, but the newness of Texas is important. Beanie Bishop, how about this? Named the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Month. Chris Boswell, AFC Special Teams Player of the Month yesterday. All this and everybody wants to bench Beanie for Cam Sutton in a week.
I don't know if that is something, well, I'll say this. I don't think it's something they should really rush into, and I hope that they don't. I don't think they will, just given their style, that Sutton will walk right in here and just take all the snaps away from Beanie Bishop. I think that Bishop has played a little bit better than they maybe expected an undrafted rookie to do so. Now, Sutton, once he's in there, once he's settled, he's going to be the better player. They've worked into a pretty good situation where, okay, we can at least play Bishop for a majority of snaps until Cam Sutton gets the feet wet. But I think we get a couple of weeks down the line, then Cam Sutton will take over. But Bishop should absolutely keep working his way into the defense. He shouldn't just completely be set aside.
Not at all. I mean, he gets sort of unbelievably like demerits for the other two interceptions. Now, one of them, I'm still not sure he didn't tip that ball to Garrett Wilson, by the way, and that's why it went off his shoulder pads. And he caught it. And I'm not convinced on Cam Sutton either. You grow old fast in the NFL. A lot of things have happened with Cam Sutton since he left Pittsburgh. He was god-awful in Detroit. Now, he was playing a different position, more outside, was forced into that because of injuries there, but he was awful. And then there's everything else that's gone on with him. So does he just step back in here as the same Cam Sutton that left town? Because 1 year is a lifetime in football. I'm not convinced of that. I would ease him back in, as you say. But Beanie Bishop, to me, is rising. So he should absolutely still be taking snaps while we get a look and see what Cam Sutton looks like.
Yeah, I agree. He's earned his way onto the field. And whether it be packages, like sometimes James Pierre is out there playing. That should definitely be Beanie Bishop's role. And also maybe just split it up until you find out who the guy is and materialize it on its own. Is this a welcome to Narduzzi November question mark moment? Pat Narduzzi in November in his career at Pitt is 22-12 before the biggest season, the biggest game in years for the Panthers against SMU. Do you trust in what Narduzzi has done this year? Will continue, Donnie.
Raise hell in November with Pat Narduzzi. I agree with what we were talking about earlier, and a Pitt could lose this game. I still think it's a team that ends up with 10 wins, and we'll have to discuss, you know, is that satisfaction for Pitt fans? I think it is. You guys think a little bit differently. But, you know, I guess I take more into account what happened in years past than you guys wanted to, which is also fair. I think it is a good sign that normally we see the slip-ups earlier in the season and not as much once you get later on into the years for Pat Narduzzi. I think it's a good thing when you don't have any losses yet.
Tell me again your number going into this, Limits. I got lost in that.
The record for Narduzzi in November?
Yeah.
22-12.
That's a lot of losses.
That is a lot of losses, yeah. 10 more wins than losses.
So does that have me feeling good or bad, you're saying, going into this game?
Correct.
Totally irrelevant. Just completely irrelevant to me. No offense to the question, by the way. For me, at least, it doesn't matter. It's a new year. It's a new team. It's a totally different quarterback. Some of Narduzzi's teams, it's like Tomlin. Some of them get better as the year goes on. Some of them get worse. This game's going to come down to the kid, I think, that they brought in from Alabama who looked like a star, a Heisman Trophy candidate, whatever it was, five games into the season, and now has struggled, maybe understandably, whatever. I don't know. Is he a star? We're going to find out Saturday night. Tomorrow night, we'll find out.
Joe, I think you'll find this interesting. The Penguins and Ducks game last night on Halloween, Penguins on a six-game losing streak, only drew 14,945 fans. Excluding the pandemic, it's the lowest attended Penguins game on record in PPG Paints Arena history.
Wow.
Great note from our guy Destiny's Child on that one, tweeting it out.
Destiny's Child.
What do you think of that?
Well, it was Halloween. I get it. It was a beautiful night, so people probably wanted to do that. But make no mistake, there's a trend happening here, and that is that I think a lot of casual fans probably, and maybe even some hardcore ones, see the demise happening, and the nostalgia tour only works for so long. But really, the bigger story to me, Donnie, is it's a foreshadowing of what's to come. I don't believe that this is a Penguins town. I think it's an event town, a star town, a winning town. When the Penguins get bad, and they inevitably will, and especially when Sidney Crosby's done, you're going to see this go right back to times in the past where there was a largely empty building. I hope that's not the case. I hope Kyle Dupe Us stays off of that and can somehow do a mini rebuild. But I think that's where we're headed.
You could say that arena will become a ghost town. You like that one, Horse?
Oh, do I ever,
It was certainly apparent.
How about him, huh?
Boo!
It was certainly apparent last night that it was a light crowd. Now, I thought the energy was fine from the people in the building. Limits and I maybe raising up the decibel level a little bit times.
Yeah.
But you looked around that arena, and I'm sure you did this too last night, Austin. I looked around, and like I would you know, bump Sarah and just say, like, I've never seen full rows and almost full sections in the upper deck that were empty. Like, there were upper deck sections where, I don't know, you maybe had 25% of it filled. You had a couple people here and there. Like, it looked like a random Pirates game in the middle of the week in the month of May or something like that when you looked up and looked around. I've seen bigger crowds in there for wrestling events that I've gone to. So I would say, you know, if it's probably going to get worse before it gets better here again, and it's not going to be pretty when the nostalgic stars they do have are no longer in town.
I don't know if it was Rob Rossi or Josh Yoey that pointed it out, but the number of suites that were empty, and I pointed this out to you, Donnie, when we were down by the ice, there were about 12, 13 suites that were just black, no lights, and nobody was there. Nobody in the suites. And that's also partly pretty alarming when you're looking at just the overall amount of interest that's going into it. All right. Two quick ones. According to a report, Drew Aller is expected to play in the Penn State game, according to a couple of different sources telling people reporting on the game. Have you seen Ryan Fitzpatrick, Donnie, on social media kind of going at like Adam Schefter, tweeting at Ian Rappaport, different things? Bill Belichick's 23-year-old girlfriend dressed up as Bill Belichick for Halloween this year. Did you hear about this?
No.
And did you hear what Ryan Fitzpatrick said?
What did you say?
This is pretty bad. For all you 48-year-old hopeless romantics out there, just think your future person may not even be born yet with hearts.
That's a little bit alarming.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on this one, Donnie, if you don't mind. Limits, like, what are we doing
like
here?
What? And then the last thing I had for you, Jason Kelce is expected to be in attendance at the Ohio State-Penn State game. Would you, either of you guys, be interested, if you were offered, to tailgate with Jason Kelce? And do you think that would be a fun experience?
1,000,000%, because I think I'm, what's the saying, like tails of a feather? Yeah. With somebody like
that. You actually kind of look like him now that I look over at you.
I went to a Halloween party last weekend. It was a lazy costume, but all I did was toss on my Kelly Green Jason Kelce jersey and sweatpants.
That's unbelievable. A great move by you.
I probably should have just picked up like that beer that they, that beer company they own. But I would absolutely do it because Sarah listens to their podcast, the Kelce podcast. The stuff they talk about, I sit there and just think, like, these guys could probably just be my older brothers. I could just pass for being another Kelce brother.
You could.
I mean, they're talking about wrestling. They're talking about Adam Sandler movies. Right up my alley.
Maybe we can get one or both of them on a Donnie Football Friday. Would you like that, Donnie?
That would be awesome.
Look into that, please.
That would be sweet.
Especially Jason, I think, would be realistic, actually. I have no interest in tailgating with the Kelces less than none. I don't care. Although I was in a Giant Eagle 2 days ago, and sure enough, I was in the cereal section buying granola, I might add, with little chocolate chips in it. Unbelievable, yeah. Donnie.